Welcome to Beyond the Sermon. I am Mr. Flashy Buttons Man, Pastor Dave Rudat. I preached this past weekend, but I did not preach on Easter 5B. I was doing Good Shepherd Sunday. But I am joined here with Pastor Will Harley, who did actually preach on the stuff this coming Sunday, Easter 5B. And we were doing Night at the Roxbury impersonations because, and you'll find out, I mean, this is why you tune on to the podcast or watch us on YouTube, is to find out why are we doing Night at the Roxbury. We're filling out a theme of resurrection reality. What does it mean that Jesus rose from the dead? What are some of the realities? And today's theme on looking at the three lessons, Pastor Harley, is what?
The theme that I did was, this is love, but the official theme is that we would bear fruit.
We would bear fruit. So the gospel lesson, Jesus talking about he's the vine, we are the branches. The first lesson talked about the early church, led by the grace of God, to care for their neighbor's needs, as well as their own, by selling their possessions. And then one man named Barnabas, who may or may not have written certain books of the Bible. We don't know. We'll find out. He sold his field. We'll find out in heaven, right? And then we'll find out just, yeah, anyway.
Paul.
Or Paulus.
Sorry.
So that's a Hebrew joke early in the morning. And anyway, with coffee, if you have coffee, that's a good thing just to think about. Hebrews. And then who wrote Hebrews? Who brews Hebrews?
He was a coffee drinker.
And that's...
Yeah. Where were we?
Where were we? It's that kind of a day for both of us.
Again, no outline.
No outline. Yes, he's razzing me about not having an outline today. And promising that it's going to be an awesome show. So today we are doing the second lesson, 1 John 3:18-24. So as we are doing that, we should probably read it before we talk about it. So we'll have Pastor Harley's take on that sermon, 1 John 3:18-24. Dear children, let us love not only with word or with our tongue, but also in action and truth. This is how we know that we are of the truth, and how we will set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We also receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. This, then, is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in God and God in him. This is how we know that he remains in us. We know it from the Spirit whom he has given to us. So that's 1 John chapter 3. I don't know about you, Pastor Harley, but I've really enjoyed going through 1 John through the season of Easter. Very simple language, but then at the same time, lots for us to think about. He is going to really soar our thoughts higher than what we may be used to, and good for us, because then we're also thinking about Jesus.
Absolutely.
So, go ahead.
So, yeah, I kind of think it's a disservice going back and forth in the book of John instead of going straight through it, but that's okay. So a lot of the topics that he talks about in 1 John 3 are topics that he will bring up again in 1 John 4. And then we have a couple of readings, one before and one after from 1 John 4. So we play hopscotch. But the text itself, when I sat down, I looked at it, and it's bearing fruit. What greater fruit to bear than the fruit of love? And so I thought, well, you know, we're having 2 weeks where we're going to be dealing with love, and I thought the first one would be, what is this love thing, right? What's the love thing? And so my sermon theme was this is love. I started out with just kind of a discussion on the reality that what we have come to believe shapes our practices. So what we have come to believe shapes the things that we do in life. And I had said, you know, what we've come to believe when it comes to finances shapes how we spend our money. What we come to believe on investments shapes the companies that we invest in. What we have come to believe shapes the foods that we eat, right? You're on a really low carb diet because you have come to believe that carbohydrates, you know, could really do bad things to your waistline. And so you now live in a certain way. So what the things that we have come to believe end up being the things that we do. And I said, what more so in love? And I said, and unfortunately in the United States, in the English language, that word love can be misunderstood in many, many ways. And so I kind of introduced the fact that before we talk about how we act out love, we might want to get an idea of what love, the kind of love that we express. And I said, so how many of you love food? And had some people raise their hand. I said, how many of you love animals, maybe like cows? And some people raised their hand. I said, but you wouldn't say that you love food like you love an animal, or unless it's a cow, because then they make great steak. And I said, but what if that love of food and love of animals is that the way that we love our friends? You know, do you have a love for a friend? And I said, I don't think you would love your friend the same way that you love food or the same way you love a cow. And I said, what about your spouse, your significant other? Dude, I don't think they would love it if you said, I love you just like I love that cow. They would not appreciate that. And I said, so there's these different types of love. And I said, and I think the pinnacle of love, at least what should be the pinnacle of love, is that marital relationship. That relationship that God gives us should be the pinnacle of how love is expressed. And I said, and the way we have come to understand and believe how that is to be expressed is the type of love that we share. And I said, so many of you who are married, many of you who are dating, are going to approach that relationship based on what you have come to understand that relationship to be. So I said, so some of you may have been raised in a house that was an asymmetrical type of loving relationship, where the one person in the relationship, usually, typically the woman, was the support for the ambitions of the husband. And I said, that is an asymmetrical type of relationship. It's an asymmetrical type of love where the one party is kind of excelling, bolstered up by the other party, right? And I said, and so some of us have walked into our relationships and we said, that is the type of love I will then express in my relationship. I said, some of them are maybe not asymmetrical. Maybe they're more narcissistic, where you were raised to believe that, you know, a relationship of love of a husband and wife should be expressed by what do I get out of it for me? And I said, and so you have approached your relationships looking at what can I get out of it? You know, where am I in this and am I being fulfilled? And so that's the desire. Others may have looked at it and said, you know, I was raised in an environment and I have come to believe that the best way for us to engage in this loving relationship as a spouse would be to idea of devotion. I will give everything, right? I'm devoted to this concept of marriage. I'm devoted to this concept of love. I'm devoted to these are the duties that I must do. And I said, and then there are those that maybe have somewhere in between. Right. And we would maybe call that an ethical view, that sometimes where this love that we express is sometimes I need to be filled up and I need to have my needs met. And sometimes you need to have your needs met and we give and take. And I said, unfortunately, those aren't the types of love that is expressed when we talk about what is love from the scriptures. And I said, as the Lord, as he shows us today and he asks us to bear the fruit of love for one another, which is the pinnacle of the fruit of faith, right, is that we would respond in love. What is this love? So I went back to part of the verse that is not read, but it's John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And he says, this is how we have come to know love. Jesus laid down his life for us. So that's love, and that's a sacrificial love, a love that is not looking for what he can gain, a love that is not looking for what is his benefit, but a love that is willing to give everything to present us holy and blameless, to present us as pure in his sight. And I said, this is the love that we are called to, the love that John, as he's writing, is saying, this is the fruit we should bear. This is the fruit that comes from what our Savior has done for us. And so to know that we are in the truth, to know that we have set our hearts at rest, to know that we are engaging. This is the love that we are called to express. And I said, how have we done? How's that worked out for us? And I said, when was the last time we've sacrificed ourselves for the benefit of another because it is good and right to do? Because this is the love that we have to express. When was the last time we've done that for our family? Don't even go outside of the church. Don't even go outside of your own family unit. When was the last time that you have sat down and said, I give up everything and it is good, and I'm never upset that my wants, my needs, my desires, that my things that I think that I should have get put away so that I could have everything given to the other? And I said, I dare say we have failed. And the Lord knows that we have failed. And when we have failed, and as a Christian, we look at that and we say, I could have done better, and I should have done better, and I should have loved without receiving anything back, and I should have done these things without thinking more is to come, and I didn't. Our God is greater than us, and he knows in whom we rest, and he knows in whom we have forgiveness, and he knows that we are his, and he is greater than our hearts, and he forgives us, and he lets us start again. And I said, and there is times that we do this well, and there are times that we get it. There are times where we react to the needs of those people around us, and we give to them, and we sacrifice for them without ever thinking anything of it. And it is good and God pleasing. And when we ask, Lord, help me do this better, help me supply for, help me, he answers those prayers, and this is good. But the reason all of these things come about, and the reason all of these things are capable for us to do, doesn't center on us, but centers on our Lord and our Savior in whom we live. And we know we live in him because the Spirit has worked in us. We know we are his because the Spirit has been given to us, and he is the guarantee that it is for us. And so we do these things as a bearing of the fruit, coming from and bleeding from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world, that they may know what love is, because otherwise they don't know it, and they will never see it, and they will never encounter it, because love is only seen in Christ. True love is only seen in Christ, who gives himself, no strings attached, for you, that you may live in him. And so that's, in general, the basic gist. My mother told me that the sermon was, wow, it really went quick. Was it shorter? I don't know if it was necessarily shorter, but it was a communion Sunday, so if it was, it was okay. my struggle with the sermon, and this is where we're probably a good time for us to talk about it. The struggle with the sermon is predominantly when you read 1 John in this section, you're going to say all law. So, I mean, really every step of the way is, this is how we know that we are truth, that we set our hearts at rest in his presence, right? If our hearts condemn us, that's law. Yes, we have the gospel. God is greater than our hearts. But he said, dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence. Well, that's kind of a law thing. The only way you're not condemned is if you're doing what is right. Well, how many times do you do what is right? You know, you can go back and you could refer to, you know, have we asked for the right things as he has commanded us? Have we done what he has commanded us? And the reality is we haven't. I mean, this is a very heavy law section as you can go through it. And honestly, when dealing with love is going to be a law section because love is the greatest command. So we have to go, and this is where we're kind of, I can't say I struggled, but I'm like, okay, we have to import something here. And so you have to go back into 1 John 3 and go previously and say, okay, what did he give us that enables us to do these things? That enables us to stand and say, okay, this is love that I'm to emulate in the world and to bear fruit on. And to do that, we had to go back and draw from what he had said. This is love. Jesus died for you. That is love. That is the most loving thing. So law, gospel, Christ died for you. He set for you not only the example, but he also did the work, so now that you may bear fruit in him. So, questions you got for me?
I don't have any questions. I think it's a beautiful text talking about the triune God and how much he does indeed love us. We've got mentions of the Father. We have mentions of the Son, mentions of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are absolutely correct. The love of Christ and what he has done, that's the pinnacle of God's love for us. And then now we see how the love that God has for us manifests itself in us loving others, and how difficult that is to talk about, because you are talking about, like you said, the greatest command. This is like, this is the big thing. How do we show an unselfish love towards someone else, towards people that we have strong feelings towards, and also people we don't have strong feelings towards? So like even members of our own family, sometimes it's difficult to actually express a love towards members of our family, because we are, maybe we assume that they know, or maybe we are taking advantage of them. So here, a reminder, what is it to love? What is it to, why do we do what we do? Why are we loving? Not because we are good in and of ourselves, but because we have a good God who has given us everything. And that's what sets us, sets our hearts at rest. Did I do enough? Did I love enough? Did I care enough? Am I thinking as unselfishly as I should be thinking? Well, you're not. And so the only way is for God to set your heart at rest, because he's greater than your heart. So yeah, very good text. Yep.
It is a beautiful text. And the other part that I know I didn't do enough justice to is that part in 23 where, you know, we have John commanding, this is his command. So this is God's command. And then he follows up with something where you to Lutheran ears would be like, oh, wait, stop this.
I can't do it. Yeah,
I can't do this. Cause he says that we believe in the name of, or in his son, Jesus Christ, that we would believe in Jesus. And we say, well, wait a sec, that's a command. And so I didn't really tackle it in the sermon, because I think it takes a little bit more groundwork to be able to tackle that. But in a sense, yes, believing is a command. It's just a command fulfilled for you. Yeah, as God commands it, he fulfills it. As he says, believe, he gives you belief. And so, yeah, I mean, there is the command that you to be in Christ, you must believe. To be rooted in him, to be connected to the vine, to bear the fruit of loving one another, which is going to come right after that, that we love one another. To do that in the way that Christ has asked of us means you will have to believe in him, and that you will rest in him. I can't place myself there, which is what follows up in 24. We know it from the Spirit whom he has given to us. So the command he commands, he gives in the Spirit. So the things for you to do, he has done and is given to you now by his Spirit. So there is this, it's a beautiful text that you can get really involved in, and I didn't. I chose to limit it to, what is this love thing? Baby, don't hurt me. If you know the song, then you
right. I don't think our sponsors have the royalty, have that locked away. So we might be waiting a while for our sponsors to get up the capital to pay for the rights for a certain song.
But if you know that song, you're now thinking you can never purge your brain for the rest of the day of hearing that song. But no, it is one of those beautiful texts that we have that brings up. And John is amazing at this. And this is, I've studied John. One of my favorite gospels is the Gospel of John. Out of all four, I like all four, but one of my favorites is John. One of the four favorite gospels that I have. but John always has this beautiful way of using very simple words and very simple to follow construction to bring out such profound truth that make you have to sit and wrestle, right? It makes you have to sit and wrestle with it. So, you know, it's easy to follow. It's super easy to follow in the text. And yet it's something you sit and wrestle with, because we're called to love, but yet how can my heart be troubled? Well, because maybe I didn't, but then how can my heart have confidence? Well, sometimes I do. Well, how does this work? Well, it's because I'm in Christ. Well, how am I in Christ? Because I was commanded to believe. But I couldn't do the command to believe. Well, no, that was the Spirit who gave it to me. But then how do I love? Well, that's also the Spirit who gave it to me. And how do I do all these? It's this beautiful, beautiful way to approach the text. So,
yeah, you need a flow chart for John. Because as he talks about one concept, and then he talks about, well, this concept proved this, and this concept also proves this, which also proves that, and goes around. And it's beautiful because it's all circling around Christ, and you see just how much we need Christ in every aspect of our life, and how even when he is speaking of law, this is what you do, he's reminding us in his own way, in his poetic way, he's reminding us, the only way you can do any of this stuff is by God working that in you, by God sending his son, first of all, to die for you, and sending the Holy Spirit for you to believe it, sending the Holy Spirit for you to love your neighbor, love your family members in the way that God has loved you.
Well, and I would even go so far as to say, and this is maybe a challenge for our listeners, go through the epistles of John, but do so in the shadow and the light of his gospel. Because every single thing he talks about in his epistles, he flushes out in his gospel. You know, John chapter 3, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. John chapter 3, verse 16, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, this is love. You have that, you get the symmetry, right? So John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, you have some.
Not that chapters here and verses are inspired, which they aren't, no, but it's a nice correlation.
It is a nice correlation that you can, in the view, but when we read it, I mean, and this is another thing, those people who went through and put chapter and verse, I bet you they were thinking, hey, how awesome to put a break here to connect with, you know, these words that he has said passed over here. And they help for our location. You know, when I'm traveling through scriptures and I'm reading something here and I'm like, oh, wait, John said something there too. And they're easy numbers for us to follow. And, you know, the simple fact, you know, John's words, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. How do I believe in Jesus, the Son of the living God? These are written that you may believe. And what comes from that? Well, you have John who says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Right there in his gospel, I can do these things. I bear much fruit in reflection of my Savior. So just some beautiful symmetry and connection between that's the value I found in going through 1 John and preaching on it. There's just such beautiful symmetry between the gospel and his letters. So
thank you very much, Will, for your awesome sermon. And if you want to actually listen to it or watch it, go to stjohnmaribel.com and go to their live worship. You can watch it on YouTube. And if you YouTube search St. John Maribel, you will also find it for Easter 5B. And if you want to hear the sermon like live, you can hear it live at St. John and Maribel as well, Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. So this coming Thursday, we're continuing our kind of a theme of just putting loosely connecting concepts together. This Thursday, we're talking about the priesthood of all believers. We're talking about the challenge and our calling as priesthood. And I think it'll be good because we'll be debunking some things about what the Wells believes and maybe clarifying some of our positions. What does it mean that we are priests in this wonderful priesthood that God has called us into? What does it not mean? Is everyone truly a minister? Those kinds of concepts we'll be fleshing out on the program on Thursday, and then join us next week, Tuesday, as we go beyond the sermon in Easter 5B.